You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome to today's Nature Connections show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. I'm a flower essence practitioner and a trainer, and I help people just like you connect back to their true inner nature so that we can all be the absolute best we can be. The way that I am drawn to do that is by connecting people back to nature and to the cycles of nature and aligning ourselves with these cycles so that we can be supported as we travel through life. So as I put this show together this week, we're well past new moon and January the 1st. This year, January the 1st and new moon fell on exactly the same day, which was a wonderful sign that this year is all about alignment and bringing us back into alignment with the natural cycles. So today, as I record, we are well into the waxing moon phase. Now, the waxing moon is when you can really start to see the moon grow in the sky. She's growing in size. And this is a great time to actually be working on building and strengthening yourself and your dreams. So we're going to be talking about that later on in the show. Every week I interview somebody who inspires me and therefore who I know will inspire you too and who works alongside the Nature Kingdom. Today I interview Kathy Skipper, who is a herbalist, and I hope you will enjoy listening to her very, very shortly. So let's get on with the show today, and I will be back with you and speaking with Kathy just after the break. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connections show on Natural Health Radio. My name is Sarah Turner. On the Nature Connections show, I love to share with all listeners ways of connecting back to the heart of nature. And my guest today is a wonderful example of how to do that. So welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Sarah.
So first of all, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I'm English, but I've lived in France for the last 25 years, and I teach at a large French herbal school in Lyon. I'm teaching herbalists, and a lot of that work involves what I call healing the healer. So I'm teaching them about practical herbalism as well as getting themselves aligned and ready to be healers themselves. I teach permaculture, I teach flower essences, gemotherapy, aromatherapy, medicine making, well, lots of things actually.
Wonderful.
So, yeah.
And all connected to the earth.
Yes, everything. I'm very earth-based, so everything that I teach has is field work, is intricately connected to the outside, nature, and the practical side of herbalism.
Mm. And it's really nice to hear how you teach such a diverse range of different, wouldn't really say modalities because it's all the same modality, but all different facets of it, because each one has its own vibration, hasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And for me, I think what's really important for herbalism today is that I see it as a toolbox. So all these different modalities, as you say, are different tools within the herbalist's toolbox. And depending on the person that we're trying to help, or that we're trying to help them help themselves, different tools will come to the forefront depending on the problem in hand, and usually we'll need several of those tools, because obviously we're working on different levels of that person's being. So that'll be the tools that are going to work on a physical level, the tools that are going to work on a more subtle emotional level, and the tools that are going to really work on what in France I think they call atomic level, which is our true essence. So it's all about aligning ourselves, grounding ourselves, and working on all these different levels. So we need lots of tools, and really think that the work of a herbalist is to have these tools at hand.
Yeah, that's really interesting to hear you say that. So how would you, maybe could you give us a little overview of how you see each of these tools working? Because you've mentioned the tools, and you've mentioned different levels. Mm-hmm. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, well, let's start on a physical level with the symptoms that somebody might come to us to have help with. I would probably start by working with something, some tinctures, some plants prepared in tincture form that are going to be quite full of the molecules and the constituents that are needed to work on this physical level, so to relieve the symptoms that the person is manifesting. But as we all know, herbal healing is holistic, so the main thing, first of all, is to relieve the symptoms so the person is feeling better. Mm. And the pain is relieved, if there's pain, which there usually is once they come to us. But then behind that, and the main thing is, why and how are these symptoms manifesting, and what's happening for that person? And that's where I will look at other things like flower essences, hydrosols. Hydrosols are great because they are going to make the link between the physical symptom and a more subtle emotional energetic aspect. Flower essences, as I've mentioned. Gemotherapy, which is fairly new in terms of herbal healing, and also works on a slightly more subtle level. Very small quantities of plant matter in comparison to tinctures. So, and because gemotherapy is working with buds, plant buds, new life, with all the potential of that future tree, because many trees, the gemotherapy is going to be working on stimulating life force, which is often quite low when someone's ill. So that's another aspect. And even just taking people into nature and getting them to anchor and feel and reconnect can be an aspect, can be one of those tools.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel really lucky working with future healers and herbalists, because of the practical work I'm teaching them, I integrate their, so in a way, I'm teaching them to become healers, but also to learn how to heal themselves first. And it's all happening at once. And I feel really lucky to be able to take my students into nature. In France, there's loads of places. And just get them to tune into themselves and into nature. And from there, that's the starting point. From there, then we can work on all the different tools. But those tools are useless, in my opinion, if the person working with them doesn't have that strong connection to the plants that make those preparations.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's lovely how, really lovely to hear how you're bringing all of this together. It's really beautiful. What I'd like to ask a little bit about, because some of the listeners might not know exactly how, some of the terms that you're talking about. I think most people are familiar with taking herbal tinctures as herbalism. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about how hydrosols are used.
Okay, so hydrosols are, they're the well, I don't like saying byproduct because they're not really a byproduct, but when essential oils are made, there are two things that that come out of the alembic or the still, and they are the essential oils and hydrosol, or what is sometimes referred to as flower water. The essential oil floats on this aromatic water. And for a long time, this aromatic water was thrown away. And gradually, recently, people have begun to realize that it has actually great healing potential. And now what's happening, and I'm doing a lot of teaching about this in England and elsewhere, on the possibility of making hydrosols without making the essential oil. So you don't need thousands and thousands and kilos of plant matter, which you do to make an essential oil. And with a very small hand home still, herbalists can make their own hydrosols. And so you're distilling a kilo of plant matter, and the product that you end up with is a hydrosol. This hydrosol, because it's water, has a... The way it works on the organism is that it doesn't have to go through matter. We're made up of water. So the hydrosol has a sort of instant reaction with our organism. And this reaction can be very powerful, as I said, both on a physical and on an emotional level, and instant. Hydrosols are great, and there's something within herbal medicine that is just starting to take off. People are realizing their potential, and ecologically they're very interesting because you don't need much plant matter and you can make them yourselves.
And how do people use them? How do people take them?
Right, you take them, it's a water, so you take them sort of a tablespoonful of hydrosol in a glass of water. And another great thing about them is that they don't have any essential oils. Could have to be used very carefully. They're very concentrated and can be toxic, whereas hydrosols have no risk. They're great with kids, with elderly people. They're an amazing form of medicine, which is going, in my opinion, going to become more and more used.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? I think it's all about that connection, as you said before, isn't it? When we have that connection, it works so much more, in much more empowered way, shall we say.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the plants are there as a sort of, in my opinion, plants are the link between the healer and the patient. But without the connection with the plants, it's as if the link can't be made fully. Yes. It's as if there's a cut in the link.
Yes.
Because everything's flowing. The energy has to flow between the healer, the plant, and the patient. And for that to do so, in my opinion, it's really useful for herbalists to have made their own preparations, to chosen their plants, etc., etc.
Yes, 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 exciting, very exciting to hear you talk about this. So I'd like to ask you about your healing, the healer work, but first of all, can I ask you to tell everybody about the gemotherapy, because I think that's something that a lot of people might not have heard about.
Yeah, well, that again is a fairly new compared to the fact that herbal healing is a very ancient craft. Gemotherapy is something that's actually very recent, and it is probably used more in France than in Anglo-Saxon countries, because it was put into place by a Belgian doctor called Paul Henry and a French doctor called Dr. Titel. So it's working with, as I said, the buds, mainly of trees. And within the buds, these stem cell therapy, in fact, in terms of plants. And the idea is that in the buds, the meristems, the cells of the buds, is the potential of the whole tree condensed into a concentrated energy form. So this tiny, and it's called gemotherapy. People often think gemotherapy it's to do with crystals or stones, or but it's called gemotherapy because the buds are often referred to as being similar to crystals. And in this very tightly condensed bundle of cells that are the newly formed buds, there is the whole tree. And just at the moment when spring, that the first sap is starting to come up through the earth into the tree at the beginning of springtime, and it's this sap which will give the bud the energy to open and become a leaf or a flower or the rest of the branch. This energy is what we're looking for when we're making preparations out of the buds. It's this potential, and they're used a lot for draining the organism, revitalizing, and as I said earlier, conveying a life force. So they're also a really interesting form of plant medicine. What I like about it as well is that it doesn't hurt the tree. We don't need very much. The tree will go on, and the buds that you take, it will make new buds. Obviously, we're not going to take all the tree's buds, and we don't need very many. And it's a medicine making that you do before the leaves are formed. So you're going into nature at the end of winter, the beginning of spring, and it's the first looking. I mean, the time that you have to make these medicines is a very short period. You can miss it. So you have to be very observant, and I love working with trees.
Yes.
Obviously, you have to ask the tree permission. I mean, tree medicine for me is becoming more and more important in my work anyway.
Mm. Yes, yes, and I love, which is how I work as well and how I teach my students, that we always ask permission and yeah. find the plants or trees that want to work with us.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Then that connection is there, isn't it, from the heart?
Yeah.
So that's fascinating, personally for me as well. It's fascinating to hear all about that. So I'm sure there's lots of listeners as well that will be really excited to hear the potential of all that's really coming.
Yeah.
And how we're moving much more into working with the plants. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Now, I know from a little bit of information that you shared with me before we spoke today is that you're actually going to be teaching gemotherapy and flower essences as part of a program proposed by the Chamber of Agriculture to cow farmers.
Yes, that's
now,
right.
Now, please tell us a little bit about that, because that is extraordinary.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is, the last 20 or so years that I've been in France, I don't know why, because I don't have an agricultural background. I was a farmer for 10 years with my husband, but my childhood wasn't in agriculture. But the agricultural thing has always followed me. And I thought it was over. And in fact, no, it isn't over, because I've been asked to teach as you said, gemotherapy and the use of flower essences to farmers who are working with breeding cows. I mean, I think most of them are cows used for meat and some for milk production. I'm really lucky because, in fact, it's one of my students who puts on these courses, works for the Chamber of Agriculture, and she is very daringly asking teachers like myself to come in and do some new forms of teaching. I think it's very important because as herbalism can help all, it's not just going to help human beings. There's a vast amount that can be done. I teach healing plants with plants for the Chamber of Agriculture as well, so we can use plants to help plants that are diseased. We can use plants to help plants in agriculture, as we can use plants to help animals. And I think the flower essences, what's really interesting is and flower essences with cows, is that it's not very often, it's not about helping just the individual cow, it's helping the whole, I don't know how you say it in English, troupeau, the whole group of cows that are living together. So there may be a problem to do with aggression, or to do with depression, all these elements we mustn't forget that animals suffer from as well, especially within agriculture, because agriculture is to do with getting the most out of something, getting the most out of plants, getting the most out of animals. So I just feel really happy and honoured to be able to go and help our plant, our animal friends on this level. I don't have any experience with cows, but I'd be working together with the farmer. It's just really exciting. And as you said, for the Chamber of Agriculture in France to accept this type of course, it's we're going forward. And it's something that I think I wanted to say a few minutes ago about herbalism as well. In France, anyway, herbalism has a sort of, or had a very dusty kind of look to it. This old-fashioned, dusty plants in drawers. And we're trying to get away from that, and we are getting away from that. And herbalism is about reconnecting, as we said, with nature, and using our connection with nature to help each other and help all living beings. So I just feel really lucky that I'm going to be able to do this.
Yes. I think, because what comes to me is just working on the more soul level, and it'll be really interesting to see, as you're obviously being called in at some kind of soul level to help the cows, to benefit them as a troop, as a group, as you said.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I feel that you're going to be opening up the communication on that level between the farmers and the cows. And that's very beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really lucky. I found the word, it's herd.
Yes.
A herd of cows.
Yes, we don't have troops of cows, herds of cows. Yeah, wonderful. Yes. So it will be absolutely fabulous to talk to you again after you've taught this course.
Yes. Well,
to find out a little bit more about it, maybe later on this year or something like that.
Yes, well, I would be very pleased to share that. And something that has just come to mind is, I think what's important, you were talking about soul work. And I think, you know, when in a context like the Chamber of Agriculture, what is important is that as herbalists, we are thorough and do our preparation on all levels, because the scientific level is what will ground me, because within that type of environment there are often people who are trying to, when you're working on another level, that you get antagonists who try to unbalance you or put you off balance. So I feel it's really important, and I try and teach this to my students, that it's absolutely vital not to let go of what makes up, the constituents in the plants, how they work, et cetera, because that will be my, if I'm totally sure of myself on that level, I can't be knocked off balance, and I can go from there onto another level. Yeah. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely, yes. You're keeping your connection.
Yeah.
With the source of what's coming through you.
Yeah.
And honouring it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. It's wonderful. So let's talk a little bit about the other. I think it's all part of the same thing, I know, but so you mentioned at the beginning that you are very connected to the healing, the healer.
It's very
aspect
important
of what you do, and you're obviously teaching people to go out and use all the different tools that you're talking about, but also, and again, something very close to my own heart, it's the medicine works in much more empowered way when it's coming through a clean source, which is the person who's administering the tools or the herbs or the flower essences or whatever it is we're using. So can you talk to us a little bit about your healing the healer work?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think I need to thank someone called Caroline Gupta, who's a French healer who helped me enormously on this path. And I worked with her for 3 years on this subject. So I'd really like to thank her for everything she did for me. One of the main things about the work that I do with the students is that we're in a group. So in a group, there is the individual and the group and what is reflected back from the group. So we may be, well, often are in nature, and things will come up through someone. I wrote an article recently for the Herb Geek, which was about depression, and I wrote it, my part of it was about anchoring, earthing. And one of the main things that I find when I get new students who are on the beginning of a 3-year course to become herbalists is that there's a large need to anchor. Often that's, in a funny way, why they've chosen to do this course, because there's a lack of anchoring. I spent the last 25 years of my life learning how to anchor myself. Within the group, I will identify it somehow. Once we're there together, there's another level that keys in, and more often than not, I can sense what's happening. And it's usually one member of the group manifests something that is probably for the whole group will have some meaning, but it's coming through one member of the group. And so, for example, if we take the idea of earthing, so this person's really lacking in earth energy and non-grounded, we'll work on that. It may be through the fact that we're working, for example, on collecting roots for making plant medicines. So within the actual fact that we're making plant medicines, we're collecting roots, we'll also work on our roots, on our earthing, on our connection. So I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but
yes,
the work is happening on so we're all there, we're learning how to be herbalists, we're making our medicine out of roots, but at the same time I'm making them aware of the fact that what are roots, where are they coming from, what are our roots. We can even go back, and we might end up working on something genealogical to do with our ancestors, to do with our female roots. All this is very, very likely to come up just through digging up some roots for plant medicine. And sometimes it comes up just totally on its own, very surprisingly. For example, working with valerian roots recently this autumn, it was so strong, and it was all about our female ancestry. And the work that went with it was very strong, particularly for one person who'd lost her mother at childbirth, so her roots had been cut off at that point. But it then makes us go deeper into what is this medicine about? So what is this medicine about for us? And what is it about in terms of how we're going to use it later on? Mm-hmm. So often the plant will speak for itself. Nearly always. The plant will will lead us to where we have to go. Sometimes it can be pretty uncomfortable for a moment. But that's because we have to get rid of layers and understand what a plant does or what a plant can help us with.
Fascinating, and I loved to hear you speak, because it's work that I'm aware of myself, working with flower essences.
Yeah.
But actually, just talking to you today is just very healing for me as well, because I just love to hear that this work is being done, because I think we hear so much today about mainstream medicine, and there are certain things that are very we hear a lot of, and we know that certain aspects of herbalism and aromatherapy and other complementary modalities are very used. But what we don't hear about so much is the soul level of all of this.
Yeah.
And to hear that this work is being done by people like yourself, and clearly there's lots of other people who you've had contact with already doing this work, bringing the roots of it, bringing the connections back from the ancestors back into modern day life is extraordinary and beautiful to hear.
Yeah, it's the link between the past and going towards the future.
Yes.
It's again aligning on another level. We're trying to align from the sky through us physically into the earth, and then there's this alignment that goes from what is really the roots of our medicine and where are we going with that.
And it's honouring the plants on all levels as well, isn't it? As we learn ourselves to treat ourselves physically, you know, to literally take the herbs, for example, that we need physically, but also that they're working on a soul level.
Yeah.
And I think it does the plant such honour when we realise that, for example, when we take echinacea in the winter season, we're also strengthening ourselves and giving ourselves fortitude and courage through that plant, for example.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So I'm sure we could speak for hours, actually, but and it would be really lovely to have you come back on a program at a later date and to tell us how all this is evolving for you. For now, would you tell everybody how they can find out some more about you?
Well, I run an international network for herbalists, which is called Herbalists Sans Frontières. And its website is www.hsf, and then there's a hyphen, network.com. And that's a network for people all over the world just to join up and share and support each other within all the different ways people are working with medicinal plants. I've got a blog that's kathyskipper.wordpress.com, and I write regularly for herbgeek.com, and if anybody's, because this is an English site, I'm going to be teaching at Herbfest in June, so if anybody's around, it would be great to see you.
Is that in
UK? England, yeah. It's Herbfest is organised by a group of herbalists, and it's in the West Country in Crawford Hall. Can't remember exactly the name of the place, but there's a site, herbfest.co.uk, I think it is. And I'm teaching also in the north of England this summer at the Dilston Physic Garden and in Devon at Trill Farm. So I'm going to be in England quite a bit. I'm really pleased to make the link with English herbalists in England again.
And how can people find out about that?
They can find out about that. I've got a Facebook page, so I put stuff up on that regularly. Trill Farm has a site. It's just tap in Trill Farm, T-R-I-L-L Farm. And Dilston Physic Garden as well have a site with all their courses on it. So I'm sorry, I haven't got the details exactly of the addresses, but they're easy to find.
They'll be able to tap into it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I really encourage people to follow Kathy. As you know, Kathy, I first found out about you through your blog.
Yeah.
And it's an extraordinary collection of different parts of research and your own thoughts on plants. It's very, very interesting. So please, I encourage people to go and have a look.
Well, thank you very much, Sarah. I feel very honoured to have been invited to be part of your show. And Let's keep the connection going.
Yes, I would love to do that. Yeah, so thank you very much, Kathy, for sharing with us today. Thank you on behalf of the plants and the animals as well for doing the work that you do.
Thank you.
Very beautiful. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. Welcome back to Natural Health Radio and the Nature Connection Show. I'm Sarah Turner. So we are 1 week into the new year, 2014. Did you set any New Year's resolutions? I was reading just yesterday that over 80% of us apparently don't follow through with any resolutions that we set at the new year. And this I actually understand. Many years ago, I did used to set New Year's resolutions, and there is still a part of me that takes part. It's a very powerful time of year with the mass consciousness of everybody wanting to start again. So when we do this alongside millions and billions of other people around the world, it is a powerful portal of change. And it's also totally understandable that if we've eaten too much at Christmas, been a little bit too sedentary, maybe partied a bit too hard, gone out of balance a little bit, it may be a great time to actually say, okay, it's now time to come back into balance. I'm going to reset and realign myself with these intentions. Now, one of the things that I certainly used to do when I used to set my New Year's resolutions was that they were very mind-based. They were very driven goals. And I think this is one of the things that stops people carrying through with their New Year's resolutions. So this could be a new way of eating, a new way of exercising. I know certainly that these are some of the resolutions that people wish to move towards. And again, it's very understandable, certainly here in the Northern Hemisphere, as more light starts to become a little bit more apparent, although that we're not seeing much of it. We have that hope on the horizon, and we're getting a little bit of cabin fever being stuck indoors. So we're thinking about going out and therefore exercising. Is that one of the challenges is that all of these New Year's intentions or resolutions that we set at any time really need to be coming from a heart space rather than a mind space. They need to be coming from a place of compassion and self-love. So said in more practical terms, they need to be realistic. They need to fit in with our own levels of confidence, our own levels of what is possible for us at this particular time, depending on what's going on around us. They also need to fit in with our families and the people that we live with our jobs and other commitments that we have. So very often when we set intentions, not paying attention to everything that is around us and everything that was in us and how we're actually feeling, this is when we don't follow through on them. And I would suspect that a lot of the 80% of people who do this is because the resolutions are not actually coming from a place of wholeness. So I used to be somebody who did absolutely everything alone. I used to push through my patterns big time, and I learnt through various challenges that I had in my life that there are other ways of doing this, and this really now fuels my passion to help other people do just the same. Now, how I have learned to gain more support in my life is through the Nature Kingdom, and this program is very much, again, inspired by that, and the people I speak to all do very similar work to myself. So how can we be supported by nature? What does that actually mean? So let's take the example right now. We are still deep in winter time. If you look at nature, if you just look out the window right now, if you can, if it's daytime, if you can actually see outside and have a look at the trees, you will see that they are still in their resting phase. If you're in the northern hemisphere, everything is still very much under the earth. So what tends to happen with us at New Year is that we set these New Year's resolutions, and they are usually quite active ones, ones to break any patterns of stagnancy and to get energy moving. The problem with it is, though, that is that we're going against nature, because nature's still asleep right now. And so it becomes a very unsupported intention. Not only might it clash with anything that's going on within our lives, it's also not being supported by the natural energy of nature. So what is a great thing to do to gain the support of nature is to actually align your intentions with the different cycles. So one way of doing this is to actually start to be more outward and do more energetic pursuits in your life. For example, if doing more exercise is something that you would like to do, is to actually align that with the time of year when you can really see the sap rising in nature. And just taking a daily walk in nature will help you to do that. So the next time, really, and obviously this is very general because our climate can be a bit unpredictable at the moment, is the Festival of Imbolc, which is on February the 2nd. Now, this is in the UK, where I live. This is the time that lambs are traditionally born. And we start to see the first signs of spring happening around us. The snowdrops peak up above the ground, and we start to see the buds filling out on the trees. And so it's a time when we can actually see that the sap is rising again up through the trunks of the trees, up through the earth. The extra light is actually encouraging life back into nature, out of the earth. So this is an energy that we can tap into too. And indeed, it actually travels through our body as the sap rises in nature. We are not separate from nature. This is so much of the reason for people. Any feelings we might have of disconnection or anxiety or depression is that we feel that we are separate. But actually, when we see that we are part of this beautiful earth, then that sense of connection comes back. So aligning our plans with nature can be extremely helpful. And I would love you to give this a go. So if you had written down your intentions for New Year and they've gone a bit awry and they're not happening just as you hoped they might, give yourself a big hug. Give yourself lots of love and compassion right now. It's very hard to do these things all alone without the support of nature. So, and just allow them to rest and incubate a little bit for the next few weeks. And why don't you try, as have a look out the window, literally, and as nature starts to sprout again, just allow those intentions that were very dear to your heart and maybe still are, just allow them to maybe reframe a little bit. You might want to change the words, tweak them a little bit, and just allow them to come into their own timing naturally, and allow yourself to be comfortable and calm with that. If you missed last week's program, I'd love you to go onto the Natural Health Radio site, look for the Nature Connection shows, and actually access the podcast from last week's show. In this show, we spoke about flower essences that can support us as we go into 2014. And I actually interviewed with great joy two of my flower essence graduates about flower essences that they felt could accompany people as we go into 2014. So if you didn't hear that, I'd love you to go back, because taking a flower essence can be very supportive for this kind of journey, and it can really, again, it's another way of accessing support and connecting yourself back to nature. And if you're listening to this Nature Connection show, my guess is that you have an interest in connecting back to nature, and that in many ways you are already connected. So if this makes sense to you, and I'm assuming it does because you're here listening right now, then I'd love you to actually go back and listen. Maybe see if you can find some of those flower essences. If you can't, I'm happy to help you. Come and post up on the Natural Health Radio Facebook page or on my own Essentially Flowers Facebook page. You can also find me through my own range of essences site, moonfloweressences.com, and also my Essentially Flowers training site, essentiallyflowers.com. So we can use the seasons to support us, but and obviously there's only one January the 1st every year. So once that has gone, and if we don't carry through with our resolutions, we can tend to go a bit down of ourselves and beat ourselves up a bit. So what I love about working with cycles of nature is that we can work with the cycles of the seasons, and this is what I do in my own life, and this is what I teach as well. But we can also, we have another ally to support us, our nearest star, the moon. So if we also use the moon cycles, we actually have 13 chances every single year to begin again. Now this year, January the 1st, was a new moon. So for me, this was a great sign that 2014 is about aligning ourselves with nature and coming back and being supported, working alongside this beautiful earth rather than up against her, although for many people this is not conscious. So we have another great chance coming up. As I mentioned, spring, the first signs of spring often become apparent in the northern hemisphere, in northern Europe, around February the 2nd, and obviously this is very general timing. Well, it just so happens that our next new moon is on the 30th of January. Now, this is also Chinese New Year, because the Chinese time their New Year's with the moons, which again is a great sign to me that this way of looking at starting again is much more aligned with natural cycles. So around this time of February the 2nd, we also have new moon energies. So again, it's a wonderful time to start again. So write it down in your calendar, 30th of January. Keep watching the night sky, follow the moon, see how she can help you grow, build and strengthen your goals, and then let go as she starts to wane. We have, through my Essentially Flowers training, we have a very new program which is being offered at a super special price for its very first run, which begins on the 30th of January, new moon. So we're doing a 29-day journey through the whole of the moon cycle as a group, and using wisdom from nature and matching flower essences with that to help us all grow our dreams and be supported by nature. So if you'd like to join us on that, it's very easy to do so because it's all online. Please come to my essentiallyflowers.com training site. Look under the courses tab and you will see the Manifesting Moon program, which kicks off this next new moon, which is Chinese New Year, and also aligning itself beautiful with the first signs of spring coming through. So I'm going to be talking you through very shortly a couple of flower essences that can support you as we go into this growing waxing moon phase of the moon. So I will be back very shortly. You're listening to the Nature Connection Show on Natural Health Radio with Sarah Turner of Essentially Flowers Training and Moonflower Essences. Your weekly connection direct to the heart of nature. And welcome back to the Nature Connection Show. You're listening to Natural Health Radio. I'm Sarah Turner, and this Nature Connection Show is all about aligning yourself to the energies of winter, looking forward in a few weeks to the first signs of spring coming through and allowing yourself to be supported by nature in order for your heart's desires to become manifest and true. And for life to be so much easier, because don't we all wish for more support? Don't we all wish to feel more held, more loved, more nourished and nurtured? And we can access these feelings and this support through nature. So as promised in this part of the show, I'm going to be introducing you to a couple of flowers or flower essences that can support you as we go into this phase. So as I put this show together for this week in early January, we are in the crescent moon phase. Now, the crescent moon is probably my favorite thing to see in the sky. It's that little scythe of light that we see as the moon starts to grow again. So it's really the second phase of the moon. Right now, we're actually more, the crescent moon here is actually quite full right now, and she's going almost into her next phase. But let's stay with this phase of crescent moon. So I think for all of us, when we see that in the sky, it's something quite magical when it draws your eye, when you see this lovely shape in the sky. And it somehow brings us hope. It's a sign of renewal. It's a sign of inspiration, regeneration. So just holding that in your awareness right now, of this energy that we have available to us right now and any time you see a crescent moon. So the new moon, which happened a week ago on New Year's Day, is all about aligning ourselves, coming back into center. It's not really about doing anything. It's very akin to the winter phase. It's just about remembering who you are. So as the moon begins to grow in energy now, we start to almost look upwards and outwards once again if we pay attention to the lunar cycle. So we're not actually doing anything yet. We're not taking action. We're not doing anything that's very yang or very outward. But we are starting to focus and prioritize into all the information that downloaded to us at New Moon. It's now time to look at this and actually start to say, okay, what am I going to move forward with? How am I going to focus myself? And how is this going to be? What can I do right now to focus and prioritize myself? So this is the energy of the crescent moon. And as the moon waxes, you will be able to start taking your first baby steps. Now, did you know that during the waxing moon, which is the growing phase of the moon, our cells are actually more open and able to take in nutrients and therefore also energy? So this is a great time to be working on building and strengthening energetically. It's a great time to be working on allowing yourself to receive whatever it is you wish to receive. So let's have a look at a couple of essences that can support this process. So as we go into wishing to move forward on our plans, what often happens is that we hit up against our blocks and the resistances, and they're usually all the reasons why we haven't done these things before. So you might just want to ask yourself the question, what stops me from being the absolute best I can be in life? What stops me from moving forward on my dreams and plans? Now, one of the flower essences that can be very, very supportive at this time is the snowdrop essence. Now, I believe actually Linda mentioned snowdrop when she last week. Now, Linda is one of my flower essence students who, along with Diane, spoke last week about flower essences they believed could help us into 2014. And snowdrop is very much within my consciousness right now. I think partly because of the time of year. So I'd like to really just bring her energy back one more time into the show and talk to you about her again. So as you know, I'm sure snowdrops are one of the first flowers to push through the earth. We often see images of them and come across them in nature when the ground is still frozen. The snowdrop has this ability to push up and out the earth. She has a white flower, so she brings light. So in this still quite dark, very cold time, the snowdrop is able to push through all of that and bring her light into the world. Now, snowdrop was one of the very first essences that I made in my Moonflower Essences range. And so I know her energy quite well and have taken her as an essence quite a lot. And one thing I know about Snowdrop is that she helps us rewrite the future. So for many of us, we believe that the future is set in stone and that we can't change it. So if that is something that resonates with you and you feel that you have something happening that it's not possible for you to change, I'd like you just to invite in the energy of Snowdrop and let her help you rewrite that future. So if this makes sense to you, see if you can find yourself a snowdrop flower essence to take. It's a moonflower essence, one of my own range, but there are other ranges as well that make this flower essence. So snowdrop is a lovely, lovely flower to take us into this early part of 2014 and also at this particular moon phase, because she helps us break through those patterns of what's stopping us. So in this particular phase, when we may be beating ourselves up because we're not moving forward as fast as we should, and maybe we're hitting up against all the old stories of why we haven't done this before, the other flower essence that wants to be spoken about today is magnolia. And again, you may be familiar with this beautiful tree. We have many of them in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in Northern Europe. And she opens her flowers in April time, again, depending on the climate, the actual temperature at the time, into the most beautiful pale pink, usually, certainly the ones that bloom around where I live. They're quite large flowers. They're cup-shaped. They're very chalice-shaped. And they always remind me of candles. So it's a little like one of these candelabras that you have, with all these most extraordinary flowers pointing upwards. So again, they have this sign of new beginnings. They carry this energy of hope. And their lovely pink colour is also one of self-love and self-nurturing. Now, I have a magnolia essence in my own range, which is the Moonflower range. And there is another lovely range that you might be able to also find out about that produces magnolia, and that's the Flora Corona range. Now, Deborah Craden, who creates the Flora Corona range, describes magnolia as being a landing pad for angels. Now, I think this is absolutely beautiful. She also talks about magnolia as being very significant for us at the beginning of life and at the end of life, because she carries this very nurturing, loving energy. So at this time of new beginnings, as we begin spring and as we are in the first part of our moon cycle, magnolia is a lovely essence to actually celebrate the beginnings of new life. So that is magnolia essence. Take it to nurture you, to keep your heart open as you work through any challenges that you may have happening for you right now. Allow yourself to be comforted, nurtured, and nourished with this lovely magnolia essence, and allow the energy of snowdrop to allow you to rewrite the future. So we're coming to the end of today's Nature Connection show on Natural Health Radio. I really hope you have enjoyed listening to Kathy and also to aligning yourself to the seasons. If you'd like to find out more about what I do, please visit my training site, essentiallyflowers.com. Find out about all the courses that you can take part in. They are mostly all online, so accessible by anybody anywhere in the world. So until next week, I wish you many moonlight blessings and a great start to 2014.